husband and I were beginning to doubt our sanity. We'd expressed concerns about issues of truth and righteousness to some members of a Christian group, and the majority were telling us we were wrong. It was very distressing. We knew we could be sure about what we'd witnessed, what we'd seen and heard, but was the behavior we'd seen appropriate for those in Christian leadership? We thought not, but the majority said yes. Hardly anyone was prepared to actually listen to our concerns. We were the problem, because we were questioning the integrity of someone in authority, who the majority believed was obviously good and godly. We'd been Christians for some years, so we dug deep into God's word, the Bible. We concluded we were correct to be concerned and to have spoken out. Our sanity was saved because we were able to test our personal concerns against the truth of God's word. Today, I know of people who are struggling in similar ways. For example, in matters related to COVID. They struggle to know how some people can possibly believe certain things, which seem to be so obviously wrong. This is particularly difficult when those who are seemingly so crazy are members of one's own family, fellowship, or are close friends. It seems that many are either unsure about what is really true and even real, or are totally convinced that what they believe is absolutely true, and all who believe something different are either idiots or insane. Many are afraid to ask questions or share concerns, and unsure who or what to trust. The result is widespread insecurity, anxiety, division, pride, and delusion. Others see that we face truth wars on other fronts. Rhoda Smith, a journalist, wrote, "This war on truth is more visible than ever before, and we are witnessing an attempt to replace objective truth with subjective truth. Whatever you feel is your reality. The individual decides what's true for them." Disbelief in any objective reality used to be regarded as a mental illness for which we would attempt to treat. Now it is a core aspect of the 21st century. The Britannica website states, "People need the truth about the world in order to thrive. Truth is important. Believing what is not true is apt to spoil people's plans and may even cost them their lives. Conversely, a dedicated pursuit of truth characterizes the good scientist, the good historian, and the good detective." I know of recent internet stories of children identifying as cats in school, including meowing and using litter trays. Are they true? Who knows? But in today's world, one can almost believe that they could be. So what is truth? And who can we trust to tell us the truth? To help us, let's look at the gospel passage we've just heard read. Here, the author makes some big truth claims. They're based on what the author and his friends saw, heard, and experienced. Were they reliable witnesses, though? Can we trust them? These are important questions which I hope to consider in a future message. Today, for any who are unsure of the truth of the Gospels, I encourage you to first consider what the author claims is true and what difference they make. Then, if you're still not sure if it really is true, check them out further. There's lots of people you can ask, and certainly people can ask me if they want to know more. Sorry, I didn't have that on. That's the title. Truth, Trust, and Security. Now, truth. In verse 14, John claims that the Word was full of truth. To fully understand this, we need to see who or what the Word was. In verses 1 to 3, John claims that before the beginning of the universe, there was the Word. The Word was with God, implying the Word was different to God. But he also says that the Word was God. This sounds impossible, but it fits with the Christian belief that God is and makes himself known as God the Father and God the Son. John states that the Word created absolutely everything, then says that this Word, which was God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Becoming flesh means the Word became and lived as a human being, but was also fully God. The Word was God's Son, in verse 14, was Jesus Christ, verse 17, and in verse 18 it says, "No one has ever seen God, but God's Son, Jesus, who is himself God, and in the closest relationship with God the Father, made God known to us." We can now consider John's claim that the Word was full of truth. This means much more than Jesus spoke truth or was overflowing with truth, because Jesus the Word was also fully God. Many theologians think and agree on things like the following. God is the source and cause of everything that exists. God is love. God is life. God is the source of all knowledge and knows everything. God is good. God is also truth in the sense that God is the source of all truth, speaks truth, knows all that is true, but also God actually is truth. Or in other words, God is real and the source of all that is real. God's also eternal, has no beginning or end, and all that God is and does has no end. So truth, light, love, goodness, and justice is the final story and will continue forever. This means that what Jesus says and does and who he is super important for us in our goal to know what is true and real. But Jesus reveals truth in new ways. First, he reveals the nature and character of God. But second, he also reveals what it means to be human. Jesus was and is the perfect human being. So what Jesus does and says is, for us, the new normal. John tells us that Jesus wasn't just filled with truth, he was also filled with grace, which is loving kindness, favor, gracious help given to those who don't deserve it. It's noteworthy that Jesus didn't coerce and force people to believe him and do what he said, no matter how good it would be if people did. No, he gave them the freedom to choose. And he was also just and merciful. Very similar to Jesus being full of grace and truth, Paul urged the church in Ephesus to speak the truth in love. This is so important. We can destroy people by giving them too much truth at one time, telling them truths that they're not ready for, or in a harsh, unkind way. So because Jesus is truth, truth is a person and is not simply something to discover as much as a someone to know and to trust. John also indicates that we need to trust the truth. I plan that this will be the theme of the next series of messages that I do here. So, how do we trust the truth? In our Bible reading, John speaks about those who trust Jesus in relation to receiving Jesus and believing in his name. Many received Jesus during his earthly life in the sense of welcoming him, listening to his teaching, and coming to him for healing and deliverance. But this was not what John meant by receiving Jesus. It meant receiving him as he revealed himself to be, as God and as King, not just listening and asking him for help. Receiving Jesus is similar to believing in his name. It involves giving one's whole life to him, following his example and doing what he said. For us, believing in Jesus also means believing in facts about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, and believing by trusting him with our whole lives, turning from going our own way to doing things his way. Believing in Jesus is also something we need to go on doing. The Greek is written in a continuous tense, so it could be translated as to all who continue believing in his name. I'd like to illustrate this with a visual aid. We have a chair here. A church chair, which is quite similar to the other ones. But it's a good, solid chair. It looks very reliable. I really believe in that chair. It's real. But if I really believe in it, what else do I have to do? I can't just talk about it and look at it and admire it and compare it to other chairs. I obviously need to sit in it, trusting that it will bear my full weight, which it has, luckily. So, how does that help us? Trusting Jesus is sometimes like sitting down and resting in him, trusting him to take care of what we can't. But other times, trusting Jesus is like getting on a bicycle and going, not necessarily knowing where, but trusting him to guide us as we go. Most people can't sit very well on a stationary bike. Similarly, sometimes we need to go, to move, to arise and start to obey, even though we're not quite sure how it's going to work out. Beware of simply being a hearer of Jesus' words. As James's letter says clearly, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Some words of a song by Don Francisco seem appropriate. Quite coincidentally, it's called the Steeple Song. I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. Doesn't matter how steep your steeple is if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? It doesn't matter if you know the Bible, if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? So, much more briefly, how does trusting the truth help us to be more secure? John states that to all who believe in Jesus, God gives the right, the power, to become children of God. How awesome is that, to have God as our Father? As we trust the truth by receiving, believing, and surrendering our lives to Him, it feels like we lose our lives. We give up what we think is our right to be independent and in control. But actually, when we let go of our lives totally, we find our true identity and destiny. We gain infinitely more than we lose. Now, many of us have been trusting Jesus for years, but it's an ongoing thing. We need to keep letting go, to keep trusting Him. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. God's the perfect parent. Being His child brings amazing security, not just today, but for all eternity. Here are some of the ways in which we're secure in Him. As God's children, we have the perfect parent. We belong to Him and are part of His family. Each of us infinitely precious. We all need to know that we belong and that we're not alone. God provides for His family, not just physically, but in every way. Jesus teaches us that as we seek God's kingdom first and totally trust Him, God will provide what we need to live, food, clothing, and everything else. God protects us, too, from evil powers and evil people and other harms. However, God does allow us to go through trials at times, which may include suffering and even death for His sake. But He will always be with us and give us strength and courage to be faithful to Him to the end. I expect many of us have faced trials. All the trials I faced, I would not have missed, because they've helped me to know God so much more deeply, and it's been worth it. And many, many people who go through trials testify the same. Fourthly, God's presence is always with us, whether we feel it or not. Jesus promised those who believed in Him that He would never fail them or forsake them. Because God is with us, we benefit from all the other aspects of His nature: His peace, love, light, joy, wisdom. I could go on and on. As a little girl, I sometimes had bad nightmares. Terrified, I'd run to my parents' room, and they let me sleep between them both. I felt totally safe, but I was not anything like as secure as I've been since God made me His child and has been with me ever since. And I have to say, He keeps reminding me that He's with me, because I think I haven't totally got it yet. Some of you maybe have that need as well. So we're secure by having God as our perfect parent, belonging to His family. God provides for all our needs, protects us, is present with us in His amazing love, light, glory, grace, peace, and everything else. So, trust the truth totally to be secure today and for eternity. But how secure are we in God? Can we sink into His arms as easily as I could sit in that chair, just giving everything to God? I believe we are living in extraordinary times, and this calls for us to discover a new level of faith, of trusting the truth. I believe that many in the church in this country have settled for far too little. We've allowed ourselves to be robbed of the true riches that are rightfully ours when we believe in Jesus. As I've been preparing this message, I'm very conscious of my own shortcomings in terms of trusting the truth, doing what Jesus said. I suspect I'm not alone. Our enemy's chief weapon is to lie and deceive, one way or another. It's imperative that we know and trust the truth. We need God's power to cleanse, heal, and transform us. I'd like to end with some extracts from the diary of an American minister and missionary called Frank Lobach. He wrote this diary when he was very low, alone in an alien land, unable to speak the language. In despair, he spoke with God night after night and gradually learned to talk and walk with God in new ways. 26th of January, 1930. We used to sing a song in the church of my boyhood in Benton, which I liked, but which never really practiced until now. It goes, moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. It's exactly that moment by moment, every waking moment, surrender, responsiveness, obedience, sensitiveness, pliability, lost in his love, that I now have the mind bent to explore with all my might. It means two burning passions. First, to be like Jesus. Second, to respond to God as a violin responds to the bow of the master. March 1930. Perhaps a man who's been an ordained minister since 1914 ought to be ashamed to confess that he never before felt the joy of complete, hourly, minute by minute. Now what shall I call it? More than surrender, I had that before. More than listening to God, I tried that before. I cannot find the word that will mean to you or to me what I am now experiencing. As for me, I never lived. I was half dead. I was a rotting tree. Until I reached the place where I wholly, with utter honesty, resolved and then re-resolved that I would find God's will, and I would do that will, though every fiber in me said no, and I would win the battle in my thoughts. It was as though some deep artesian well had been struck in my soul, and strength came forth. I do not claim success even for a day yet, but every day is tingling with the joy of glorious discovery. That thing is eternal. You and I shall soon blow away from our bodies. Money, praise, poverty, opposition, these make no difference, for they'll all alike be forgotten in 1,000 years. But this spirit which comes to a mind set on continuous surrender, this spirit is timeless life. Like Frank Lobach, we too can learn how to trust the truth totally and be secure today and for eternity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please help us in this moment of silence now to come to you, to say to you anything that we need to say, to hear you, and to respond.